This is APCO Forum, powered by APCO Worldwide, an advisory and advocacy communications firm. Now, here's your host, John Defterios.
Hello and welcome to APCO Forum, timely conversations catalyzing progress on global topics. I'm John Defterios. We're tracking the emerging issues at the United Nations General Assembly, the 76th session, where global leaders meet to delve into the most pressing items on our agenda today, and also to get an update on the progress to the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, or the SDGs. While that's taking place, APCO is convening its internal specialists and also outside guests to take a deep dive on the most pressing items on the UN General Assembly agenda. And one of those that we're going to deal with right now is multiplying partnerships for inclusive recovery. It sounds like a mouthful, of course, but it's vital in terms of partnerships around the world. Let's bring in Anna Tunkel. She's the head of strategic initiatives and global partnerships at APCO Worldwide. When it comes to this topic, Anna, what would you say are the most pressing issues within the UN apparatus, and how do we get that collaboration you're talking about?
Thank you, John. Pleased to be here with you. UN as a global multilateral institution is at a crossroads. Commemorating its 75th anniversary with the 76th UN General Assembly with higher stakes than ever before. We're looking at COVID-19 pandemic still raging around the world, destroying lives and livelihoods, humanitarian crises that are increasingly on the rise, and of course, the consequences of climate change that are felt more than ever before in every corner of the world. The UN Secretary General dubbed this year and this United Nations General Assembly as the pivotal for people and planet. And he has an ambitious agenda to advance that is focused on tackling climate emergency, the inequality crisis, and ensuring that no one is left behind on climate. So when we look at climate, there will be several meetings convened to align between heads of state ahead of Glasgow and COP26 and what would be deemed progress. The main message is that every country's effort to limit the rising temperatures to 1.5 degrees remain vastly inadequate. The SDGs promise, which is very much central to the UN agenda, will be celebrated as more than 40 countries will present their voluntary national reviews on progress made towards the 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda. And with COVID setting back the SDGs by more than a decade behind, this is a topic that is, again, more pressing than ever. The Food System Summit will be convened to urge how we collectively transform in how we produce, process, and consume food. And this year also marks the 20th anniversary of the Durban Declaration. And the need for racial justice and equality comes at a time with converging with a global movement on this topic. So again, could not be more pressing. One thing I wanted to highlight, and this is from a point of view of the Multiplier Partnerships and Global Platform Reworks, is connecting the dots between corporate ESG agendas, the missions of many foundations and NGOs that we work with in civil society. And there are four priority themes from that perspective, converging between the UN General Assembly agenda, the global agenda, and the partnerships that we all need to catalyze to achieve this inclusive COVID recovery that you mentioned. And so starting with equitable vaccine access, which is a prerequisite for any type of economic recovery, climate action and cross-sectoral and particularly corporate commitments and pathways towards net zero. The third would be accelerating digital and financial inclusion, because COVID also exacerbated the rift between digital haves and have-nots, the work from home and cannot work from home jobs. And finally, the future of education, work and skills, and preparing the next generation for what's ahead.
Anna, thanks very much for that very solid introduction, giving us a sense of what we're talking about here. Let's bring in our special guest. Hala Hanna is with MIT Solve. She's the managing director focused on partnerships. In this day and age, when we have this COVID-19 pandemic, Hala, how do we make these partnerships actually sing, if you will, come together at in the right tone?
Thank you so much for having me, John. Yes, we are facing these big, hairy challenges today that the UNGA is all about dealing with head on: health security, managing pandemics, mitigating climate change, ensuring better learning outcomes for all, widening access to the digital economy. And these are the types of challenges that at Solve and MIT, with our ethos of practical implementation entrepreneurial spirit, we are aiming to tackle. And the thing is, when the challenges are so big, no agent can tackle them alone. But even more so, we're 7.8 billion people today in the world, and only the talent and potential of the very few is utilized. And we believe we can solve many more of the world's challenges if we find those innovators that are anywhere through open innovation and unlock their potential to scale through partnerships.
Thanks, Hala. Many people looking from the outside would say, oh, it just sounds like policy jargon, Anna. Multiplier partnerships. Why does this work in the context of the 21st century where you can get better traction with collaboration?
Thanks, John. It does sound like a mouthful, multiplier partnerships and global platforms, but we at APCO and my team strongly believe in needing to be bolder and creative in the types of innovative cross-sectoral organizations that we bring to the table. Think of it as public-private partnerships 2.0, if you will. We are in need of a compass and a radar to navigate the rapidly changing and enhancing societal expectations, the global challenges that Hala just mentioned. And we need to bring everybody to the table, from progressive companies to innovative academic networks, multilateral agencies, disruptors and innovators that come up with bottom-up solutions to achieve broader societal impact. And the way we look at this at APCO, we look at this also through the lens of some of those challenges. And so upskilling and reskilling and future of work, which is more pressing than ever before because of the pandemic, gender equity and equality, and of course, climate action and digital inclusion and economic prosperity. So for us, it's about catalyzing these innovative collaborations across our clients, Fortune 50 companies, and also outside of our client base with institutions and organizations that we work closely with. And MIT Solve is actually one of these institutions. They're a multiplier in and of itself, creating that impact, but also a great partner to APCO. And we're incredibly proud of the partnership that that Hala and I built over the years.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the multilateral institutions because there's been a complaint that these are a little bit tired, kind of post-World War II institutions that need to modernize. So what's the influence of these partnerships on the ability of very large organizations, in fairness, to them, which proved extremely useful after the fall of communism, for example, the IMF, the World Bank, the United Nations, the list goes on. But can you be an influence for modernization? Hala, first you, and then let's go to Anna.
We've actually worked with a lot of multilaterals, foundations that who use our model and our platform as a pipeline for their selection process. So it kind of accelerates in a sense with quality and speed, free from the internal bureaucracy in terms of what we're good at, which is identifying innovators globally and selecting them and working with them. So we kind of bring, you know, once we select those entrepreneurs, and we've selected 200 to date, you know, it's the work that really starts bringing together MIT's innovation ecosystem and that community of over 100 members that includes the likes of the Gates Foundation, Nature Conservancy, but also big Fortune 500. And you were asking about partnerships, and so maybe I can give you an example of one with you know, General Motors that has worked with over 12 of our silver teams to date, particularly around artificial intelligence and how it relates to workforce training, which Anna was mentioning was one of the main topics of focus this week, and then mobility. And one of those entrepreneurs that we work with, Carlos Pereira, is a Brazilian entrepreneur whose daughter was born with cerebral palsy. And, you know, I can tell you more about his example and how his partnership with GM is actually, you know, going beyond doing good to actually, you know, feeding into the bottom line of the company, if that's relevant.
Yeah, it is relevant. But let's pick up with Anna here about those who need the help the most here. For example, the Global South, the youth, post-pandemic, trying to drive growth. Vaccine distribution. Anna, where does this come into play when you have the partnerships that we're talking about?
So maybe two things. One, commenting more broadly on the earlier question you asked on how do we make multilateral institutions more inclusive? And I think we are at a point of crossroads where I think we need to infuse new voices to the table, both from generational perspective, and I think we see the voices of youth on climate louder than ever before. applying the partnerships lens, we actually worked with various youth climate movement leaders, building bridges between them and the private sector, because quite honestly, sometimes you need to have these uncomfortable conversations and find that common ground. So not every partnerships comes wrapped with a bow and working perfectly from the onset. Sometimes you need to get uncommon voices to the room, because not every innovation is created in a shiny Silicon Valley lab, but can come from remote villages in Bangladesh and in Kenya. And actually maybe giving a plug to the great work that Hala is doing, identifying these entrepreneurs and empowering them with connectivity to global multinationals, often spotlighting their solutions through communications and creative storytelling, does help create and accelerate the change that I think we all are talking about.
Okay, I'd like to get you both to comment because of your experience to date in this arena. What are the best practices for a long-lasting partnership, something that works? Because you could go out and pull 5, 6, 7, 8 institutions together and say, okay, this is not working. What has worked, Hala? And Anna, what are the pitfalls we should watch out for? Let's start with Hala.
I think, you know, one thing that hasn't changed in our belief this year is our belief is how important open innovation is in terms of, it's kind of, you know, technology in some way has been the star of this pandemic after being really vilified as, with lots of problems. And at MIT, we're really tech optimists. We do believe that tech has a huge power to do good, but that left to its own device, it does not guarantee that equality of outcome. And we really need to be doing the hard work of designing it so that it is at the service of particularly those that are most disadvantaged. And I think that can be done best with by working together with those that are closest on the ground and then those that have all of the resources and knowledge, like the multilateral institutions. It's pretty astounding, I think, what we've been able to do as a global community with the pandemic. You know, COVID's trans genome sequencing that was shared by researchers in a matter of weeks. I think we've had over 100,000 academic papers since January on this. That's pretty astounding. And I think the model of putting a prize to spark innovation has also been highlighted to work. If you take the innovation at the tune of $2 billion with the US funding of the vaccine. And I think if we are to say, you know, we're going out of this pandemic and we've learned so many things, what is it that we'd like to keep in terms of our pandemic mindset in some way? How do we go out and fix all of these other pandemics? We're going to need to work together and create those better partnerships that are long lasting. How do we adapt that mindset of cooperation and creativity to all the things that we have going on? Inequality, climate change, things, everything that Anna's been mentioning. Can we bring that adaptability and resilience and energy and empathy now that we've developed all of these skills in those very hard 18 months to all the challenges that we face?
I couldn't agree more, actually. I think we need to keep the pandemic mindset. I think the positive aspect of it, the sense of urgency of coming to the table with our competitors. I mean, we've seen and helped broker a number of post-competitive partnerships that traditionally before COVID would have been unheard of healthcare providers that are distributing each other's vaccine solutions. Looking at retail competitors that came together at People Plus Work Connect, which was a platform set up immediately after COVID to try and create almost a matchmaking between furloughed workers and companies that were in dire need of expansion of their workforce overnight. So bringing that sense of energy, optimism, urgency, and I loved what Hala said about empathy, because I think COVID really laid bare so many vulnerabilities that we have as society, individually. And so keeping that sense of empathy when we come together to partner, I think, is important. And John, you also asked about some of the lessons learned from brokering partnerships over the years. I think one of the most important one is being really honest in assessing your organizational strength, but also equally gaps, and understanding what you bring to the table, but what you actually need fulfilled in terms of a need gap. And I think that then makes the next sort of steps of mapping the right partners a lot easier. and identifying this organizational alignment and common goals, and really being ambitious about charting the path ahead and creating alignment with organizations that you may not have thought about before.
I think in terms of kind of wrapping up our conversation here, what did we learn out of the COVID-19 pandemic? What are the lessons when it comes to partnerships here? And is there a danger that there is almost partnership fatigue, that people had to do so much during the pandemic that we need a great reset when it comes to this, or you don't agree? Anna?
I would say that it's actually quite the opposite in terms of the trend that we're seeing. I think the pandemic turbocharged newer ways for us to look at some of these challenges, where some of them actually don't seem as insurmountable as before, because we know that we can come together with other partners. And good case in point, IKEA and Rockefeller Foundation, together with the International Finance Corporation, committing $1 billion to renewable energy solutions. This is something that, just from intimate knowledge of each organization, they were doing separately up until the pandemic, and the pandemic turbocharged that moment. And so from my perspective, I'm really optimistic about what's ahead, about the mindset shift and change of many global organizations we work with, about the broader impetus, now wrapped in this form of ESG conversation, but really it's broader and bigger than, the names we call it: corporate purpose, ESG, social impact. It is about addressing the common challenges we face as humanity, and I'm optimistic about the tools that we all have.
Okay, Hala, last words to you. Go ahead.
I would very much build on this, because Anna was saying, know your strengths and your gaps as an organization, and then go and partner to fill those gaps. And my biggest plug would be for the global entrepreneurs globally that are doing the work on the ground. They know what works best. They know their communities best. There's so much ingenuity out there that we can talk about forever. We should take advantage of that and harness that, because we can't solve these big global challenges by just, being the echo chambers that sometimes we complain that we are in those big global meetings, but work with folks on the ground who can make the change happen.
This is refreshing. Thank you for joining us in the APCO Forum. Hala Hanna of MIT Solve and Anna Tunkel of APCO. And the APCO Forum is designed for this sort of conversation, to get a deeper understanding of what's taking place. And the ultimate goal here is for international organizations themselves to become catalysts for progress. Watch this space for further episodes of APCO Forum. And if you want to see the other programming, join us on our social media channels at APCO Worldwide, and you can sign up for the APCO Forum podcast as well. I'm John Defterios. Thanks for joining us for this conversation and many more in the near future.